pray a lot because we do have a lot of goals that will take
every one of us to make these things happen. I want to encourage you online, if you haven't printed out the bulletin for today, I encourage you to do so. It's right there on that live stream page, and even the 10 goals are right there. And print it out or just put it up on your computer so you can kind of follow along with it, because we're going to go through all 10 goals. So if you also, those of you here, if you haven't gotten the bulletin and you need one, go ahead. It's right there. I think that's called a narthex or whatever weird word we call the in-between, the lobby and the sanctuary. Go ahead and grab one, because we're going to look at that a lot today. But before we actually start on that, we're going to be discussing our 10 and 10 goals, all right? And 10-10 is going to be something you're going to hear often, because we have 10 goals in 10 years. And I like to say things in a really short term. So if you hear 10 and 10, we're talking about these 10 goals in 10 years. But I was thinking about how to explain this to you, why we're doing this, and are we changing anything? Are we doing something really weird and unique and different? And the answer is no. Really, we're just looking, how do we make disciples of Jesus Christ at Cornerstone Bible Church? And these are the goals we want to strive towards over the next 10 years. And it reminded me a little bit of something that had to do with cooking. Now, how many of you have ever cooked scrambled eggs? Come on, hopefully most of you. Really? So there's actually some people who have it. This is okay. Okay, so in my house, as I was growing up, my mom and dad taught me how to make scrambled eggs. And the way they taught us is you take two scrambled eggs, because it was just me eating. I wouldn't cook anything for my two sisters. You kidding me? You take two eggs, you put them in a pan. But before you do that, you got to whip it up, right? You got to put it in some bowl or some container so you can whip those eggs up and get that nice scrambled egg consistency. But as I was growing up, I was taught that when you make scrambled eggs and you crack the eggs, put them in a container and whip them up, what you need to do is add milk. I was taught that you add a little milk. My dad was a really creative cook, and so the way he taught me was just pour a little in. Now that just does my heart like pain, because I'm a chemist at heart. I like to follow a standard operating procedure. So I need to know specifically how much do you want me to measure to put those in these eggs so that it's done properly. So it really drove me crazy, but I found out that it takes about 1 tablespoon per egg. Now, I thought that that was the way that you always make scrambled eggs, that everybody in the world would add milk to their eggs to make scrambled eggs. It wasn't until I got married that I found out that people do it differently. My wife does not add milk to her scrambled eggs. In fact, when we have two boys, and when she taught them how to make scrambled eggs, they didn't add milk, and I thought it was completely wrong. And I had to do some research, because I thought, I'm doing it right, everybody else is doing it wrong. I did a little research, and lo and behold, you don't have to add milk to make scrambled eggs. In fact, it's perfectly fine to add nothing to scrambled eggs when you cook it in a pan. But I did a little bit more research. It turns out that if you want creamy scrambled eggs, you add 1 tablespoon of milk to one egg. But if you want fluffy scrambled eggs, and this just doesn't make sense to me, you add 1 tablespoon of water to your scrambled eggs. Someone said yes. Somebody, you knew that? I did not even know that. I didn't even know that. So really, when it comes to making scrambled eggs, the goal of making scrambled eggs is the same. The goal is to make some delicious scrambled eggs by cracking 2 eggs into a pan and cooking it up so that you can eat some delicious scrambled eggs. Now, the method of how you get there really doesn't matter as long as you have eggs. If you decide to add milk, that's fine. If you decide to add water, that's fine. If you decide to add nothing, that's fine. If you want to throw some salt in there, some pepper in there, whatever your heart fancies. The one thing that you absolutely need to make scrambled eggs is what?
Eggs,
that's it. So why am I talking about scrambled eggs? Because Christians are like scrambled eggs. You're an egg. And God has given us a command to make disciples. Now, there are multiple ways that you can make a disciple, but there's one thing that you absolutely have to make a disciple, and what is that? You. You need to be present there. Now, the goal is the same, right? We're here to make disciples. Some people might add a little milk. Some people might add a little water. Some might add nothing. Some might add salt. Some might add pepper. But the goal is the same, to make scrambled eggs. And the same thing is true when making a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's some things that people will do differently in Christianity at different churches to make disciples. But there are some things that you absolutely have to have to make a disciple. For example, when you're talking about scrambled eggs, you have to have you have to have the eggs, but you also have to have a pan to actually cook the eggs in, because if you don't have a pan and you throw the eggs on the stove, what's going to happen? It's going to make a hot mess. It's not going to really work that well. And that's another thing that you need. You need a heat source. You need some sort of fire or stove to make scrambled eggs. So there's certain things that you have to have to make scrambled eggs, and there's certain things that you have to have and do to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that last week. We talked about that there are at least three areas that you have to focus on to make a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, how you make a disciple, when you're adding the milk or the water or the salt or the pepper, now those are just like different ways that you can make a disciple, different programs you could use, different goals we could have at Cornerstone or another church, but there's specific things that you have to focus on to make a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we talked about that last week. The things that you absolutely have to focus on are at least three areas, and we looked at the Gospel of John last week and what Jesus said makes a disciple. Now, we could go to multiple places in the Bible. I'm not saying these are the only three verses that tell us how to make a disciple in the Bible. We could go to Old Testament, New Testament, and bring up some great verses. But I wanted to focus on these three because these three were Jesus was speaking to people and saying, you are my disciples if. And in John 8:31, he said that you are my disciples if you abide in my word. So one thing that is absolutely necessary that you have to make a disciple is to transform the way a person thinks. You have to teach them how to live in the truth. We have come up with, as no matter how old you are or how young you are when you came to Jesus Christ, there is wrong thinking, sinful even thinking that we have to unlearn and learn the truth. And so one of the things to make a mature disciple, to make a disciple, is to teach and to help a person live in, dwell in, understand the truth of God, to think the way Jesus thinks. Then in John 13:35, we found out the second phrase that Jesus used. He said that you are my disciples if you love one another. So the second thing that we need to focus on that is absolutely necessary to make a mature disciple is to transform a person's feeling so that they love sacrificially the way Jesus loved people. And you can go to John 13, and that's the situation where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. I encourage you to read that. But one area that we need to transform in all of us, because we're this disgusting egg that you really don't want to eat unless you actually cook it, right? Some of you might do that. I don't recommend it. But one thing we have to transform is the way we feel. Because I don't know about you, but my feelings are often distorted and sinful. The world has taught me to look at my feelings, especially in American culture, that do whatever feels right. I'm sorry, I feel things that are wrong all the time. And if I were to act on those things, many of you would hate me. Okay? And that sounds a little weird as I said that out loud. But I'm a sinner. I think poorly of people. I judge people. I feel certain ways about people because of maybe something they've done to me. And if I was to go off of my feelings initially, I would be sinning against God in you constantly. But one thing God is doing in me, and it's this lifelong process, is transforming the way I feel, understanding my feelings. And I'll talk about that in our 10-year goals. So we need to transform the way we think. We need to transform the way we feel to be a mature disciple. And the third thing that is absolutely necessary in making a mature disciple of Jesus Christ is to transform our actions. And we saw that in John 15:8. Again, I encourage you to go and look at Scripture, because we're not going to get in Scripture a lot today, because we did that last week. But Scripture is the foundation to all of this. Don't take my word for this. Take God's word for this. Go back, test me. Be like the Bereans, okay? Look at everything I'm telling you. Make sure it jives. Does anybody even say that anymore? Make sure it connects, that it's actually coming from Scripture. Because it doesn't matter what I think, feel, or do. It really means what Jesus thought, felt, or did, okay? And I'm just learning to become more like Jesus. Now, hopefully I have some credibility coming up here and being your pastor. So you can follow me because I'm following Jesus. But always don't just take my word for it. Go to the Scripture yourself and judge it. Because actions have to be a part of our faith. If all we do are thinking Christians and feeling Christians, but we don't go and do anything as Christians, we are not being a full disciple of Jesus Christ. So we have to transform our actions. We have to change the way we do things. And Jesus said, "You are my disciples if you bear much fruit." And he talks about the context of obeying God and the law even. It's a beautiful illustration of how our actions are transformed by the Holy Spirit as we grow in Christ too. So those three things are absolutely important and necessary to comprehensively make all of us mature followers of Jesus Christ. So as I go into the 10 goals in 10 years, 10 and 10, I want you to know that the elders and all leadership and staff and everybody have been looking at things through three things, actually. One is our mission statement, which is to glorify God by making disciples of Jesus Christ at home and abroad. The second one is through our vision, which is to find, fold, feed, and forward disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's also through this lens of we are here to make mature disciples, to help you grow from a baby Christian to a mature Christian. It's a lifelong process that's never over until we're with the Lord and come back. But we are looking on how can we transform the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act so you are more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand the foundation here is all on Scripture. We're not doing something new. We're not having this new method that we found. It's simply something that Jesus had talked about way back when, that God has been talking about for centuries, for millennia. And we're just saying, how do we do that here in our culture with all of you and those of you at home? How do we help you become a mature disciple of Jesus Christ? That's what these 10 goals are based on. Do you get it?
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. I heard you. Do the rest of you get it, those of you at home?
Yes.
All right. All right, well, I could go home now? You got it? No. Yeah, you guys would say that. Oh, I'm going to keep you here late. Don't worry about it. Well, let me share with you our plan, our goals. And like we said, we've been praying about this. The leadership, the elders have been talking about this. We had some meetings with our ministry leaders. Maybe you heard about that. I'm sorry if you were hurt that you weren't invited to that. We were really trying to just kind of share with the ministry leaders. And now we're going to share it with you. And we're going to have time to talk about it in the month of May. So we call this our 10 and 10, our 10 goals in 10 years. And like I said, all this is based on Scripture. And I want you to think of that analogy. What our goal here is to make scrambled egg disciples, okay? We're here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. There's some things that are absolutely necessary that we need to focus on, like that triangle of transforming the way we think, feel, and act. And there's other things that we're going to look a little different from the other Christian church down the road because, hey, we got different people. We're different kind of in different stages of life, maybe, all these things. But that's like adding the salt and pepper. We're not saying we're doing it all right and everybody else is doing it all wrong. We are saying these things are absolutely necessary and have to be a part of their goals. All right, so let's go into our 10 goals in 10 years or our 10 and 10. Our first goal is to create 10 to 20 discipleship groups over the next 10 years. Now, whenever we're talking about numbers here, I want you to know that we hold this very loosely, but we are striving to get you in a discipleship group, and I'll tell you why. As I'm looking at our culture and where we're going and how fast we're going towards a destination that many of us as believers in Jesus Christ would not agree is a good destination to embark on, I am very concerned about the state of our country and where it will be in 10 years. I am shocked how fast it's become. 10 years ago, I remember even President Obama was saying, and even Joe Biden as he was vice president saying, well, of course you know marriage is between a man and a woman. Of course we would never have homosexual marriage. Oh, of course, transgenderism, what is that? You know, wasn't even talked about. And here we are 10 years later, and I am shocked at how fast our culture is loving evil and calling good evil and evil good. When I look over the next 10 years, I'm thinking that that is only going to increase in speed. Now, I'm not a fatalist. I don't think all hope is lost. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm trying to communicate here. But I'm trying to be wise to the times. I want to be innocent as a dove and shrewd as a serpent, okay? And I want us to be aware of what we see. And so one of the things that could happen is that churches are going to be attacked for standing up for what they believe is truth. Believing in what God has told us. And when there's going to become a choice between, do I obey the government and mankind, men and women in leadership positions in the politics, or do I obey God? And we're going to have to take a firm stand that we obey God over man. It's very clear in scriptures. I'm also concerned that something again might happen like COVID. It's not going to be COVID. I think it's going to be a new thing. But I don't trust governments around the world. I'm not a total conspiracy theorist here. But I'm looking and going, you know what? I could see another virus leaking from something like a Wuhan lab over in China again. And if that happens again, it's going to be hard to have church service together in person in mass amount of people like we did a couple of years ago and had to close the church down for a few months and then had staggered, you know, we wore masks and all this stuff. I'm concerned that's going to happen again. And so I'm concerned that big church, meaning that us meeting on Sundays and those of you at home even, are going to be affected in a way where we can't do this maybe as often or as openly as we would want, that we might have more persecution of Christians. Now, I say that knowing I'm not a prophet, okay? I could be completely wrong. And if you have a different opinion than me, that's okay. But what I am seeing is if that happens, let's say it's a maybe, if that does happen, we need to be community in community in smaller groups. We need to be connected with each other so that if we had to shut the church down for whatever reason, you have a group of people that you are connected with that you can still get together with in your homes, even though we might not be able to get together in this building. And so one of the goals is to have discipleship groups so that people are more connected. That's one reason. But also these discipleship groups just facilitate and help you mature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. One of the best areas that you will grow in your faith is in connection and relationship with other believers. Sunday is great. I think we should continue to do Sunday, partly because my job depends on it. But also interaction and relationships in a time where you can spend more intimate time together rather than on a Sunday morning. Like, I really do love talking with all of you, and I don't get to do that on a Sunday morning. We had our men's barbecue yesterday, and by the way, it was delicious. Man, if you missed it, oh, wow. It was really good. We need to get people plugged in. Men with men, women with women, family with families. We need to be doing that, cultivating that more, because when we could get together over there, I got to sit down with some of you, not all of you, and I would have loved to have done that. I got to sit down with some of you men, and we talked a little bit more. And you blessed my heart just to get to know you guys a little bit more and some, spend some time even playing a board game, doing some radio-controlled computer simulation for radio-controlled airplanes. I mean, we had some fun yesterday, so guys, if you missed it, you got to come back. We're going to be doing more. But discipleship groups are important. And discipleship groups are where we can grow stronger and more fervently in the Lord and the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we act. Because God did not create us to be hermits in our Christianity. He created us to be together, not just on a Sunday, but in each other's homes. And you're talking to someone who's an introvert that I like to stay at home. I like to have my personal quiet time. I like to watch my TV show. I like to play, you know, on my phone before I go to bed and watch some YouTube. I like my private time. But I'm realizing more and more that even my introverts like me need quality time with other men so that I am being sharpened and challenged. That's what discipleship groups are about. So as we see this as a goal, as something we really want to push, We know that we won't get all of you in discipleship groups. We're not saying you're a bad Christian if you're not in a discipleship group. No, we just want to provide an opportunity for you so that you can get connected with other people in our church and grow in your faith to help transform the way you think, feel, and act to be more like Jesus. So what are these discipleship groups? We come up with some guidelines, okay, that we'd like these groups to follow. We know that not all of them will follow everything, but we're encouraging this. We're pushing this to some degree. Let me show you what these groups will look like. The first thing about these groups, and if you can't read this up here, or those of you online, you have it in your bulletin, okay? So just open that. If you can't read your bulletin, we will pay for you to go to the eye doctor, all right? All right, so everybody good. So these groups will be family. So some groups will just be family. So moms, dads, grandparents, kids, singles, whatever, all come together. That'll be some groups. Some will be men-only groups. Some will be women-only groups. And some will be young adult groups. Now, we are already doing some of these already. I'm not saying we haven't been doing this. We do men of the word. We do women in scripture. We also have some discipleship groups going on already with our men's ministry called Movement and women's ministry. So it's not like we're not already doing this, but we want to expand this and say, this is really important. These groups will use the Bible or discipleship materials. That's important to us. This isn't a book club. This isn't just a time to hang out and talk about the latest movie that's out there. We want this to be intentionally working on helping you grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. These groups will focus on four things, and this is really important. Now, how much they focus on these four things will vary from group to group, but we're just saying, hey, in your group, you need this. You need to have scripture a part of your group. You need to have fellowship a part of group. You need to have prayer, and you need to go practice your faith together. And I mean that when I say practice your faith together. One of the best things you can do is, like Jesus, when he sent the two out, two by two to go out, he was brilliant when he did that because we often get scared to do things alone. But when you have each other, you can kind of give each other that encouragement that you need to go do the things God calls us to do. So sometimes in your group, let's say you're sitting down, let's say your group is going on for 2 hours. Maybe you spend 40 minutes talking about some Bible verses, you hang out for another 40 minutes, you spend 5 minutes in prayer, and I just didn't even equal 2 hours, but then you do some other things during the other time. But then one day during the week, you decide, you know what? We're not going to do those other things. We're going to go out and, you know, help at Lilburn Co-op. Hey, we're going to go out and help over at Parkview High School. They got some basketball games on. They need some people to run concession stands. You're going to go serve together. We want you and the discipleship groups to be thinking that way. We also encourage groups to have meals together. Because when you eat together, it's very intimate, and you can talk, and you don't feel as awkward just sitting there when you have your mouth full of food, all right? It's not required in the groups, but we're encouraging it. Groups will be encouraged to take place in homes. Doesn't mean that they can't take place here on a church campus, but there's something about homes that just make it more comfy, less clinical. Because sometimes, I love our church, this building is an amazing building, but sometimes I even look at it and go, this looks like a psychiatric ward. You know, it's just a little drab here. There's not a lot of color, not a lot of pop. I don't want it to be that. You know, church is more, it's a family. I'm not advocating that we have to change the paint color, but when you take place in your homes, it's really cool to see what happens. There's a lot more intimacy, but that can happen here on campus as well. In fact, I have a small group and we meet on campus, so I don't want to sound like I'm being calling you a hypocrite if you actually meet on campus. I do it as well. We encourage the groups to be no more than 8 to 10 adults or 3 or 4 families because just when you get too big, not everybody can participate and be heard. We also want people to pick one group and stay in that group for a specific period of time. Now, obviously in the beginning, you know, if you find a group, it's just not working for you, that's okay. Come and talk to me and Rob and the leaders and we'll help figure you. But we'd like you to pick a group and stay with it so that you develop relationships. All groups will be open if there's enough rooms for space for other people to be added. Now, that's what we are recommending. Obviously, some groups might be closed for some reason, and we're willing to work with that. Love groups to be between 1 to 2 hours. Groups can meet any day of the week, except Sunday during first hour or Sunday school, and second hour, okay? I hope that doesn't seem shocking to you, but we really would like you to be here. Groups are encouraged to meet for 1 year, and then groups can reevaluate if they should form two new groups to welcome more people, or if they should continue on. One thing that we don't want to happen, and this is hard for sometimes, if you've been at Cornerstone for years and years and years, and you know a lot of people, sometimes we don't get this, but when you get together with people, you spend time together, you start developing relationships, and they mean something to you, because they're special, and that's good. But oftentimes, when new people come to a church, we're not as welcoming as we should be. And we create little cliques in our groups, and we don't want anybody to add to our group because it would disrupt how good, you know, its interaction's going on. And a lot of the new people, and you can talk to some of our new people, I did not talk to them, but ask them, do you feel like you're being left out a little bit? Do you feel like you're being excluded? Do we love the people who've been here a long time and not really care for the people who are rather new to Cornerstone? We want these groups not to become a clique. We want you to be open to developing new relationships, inviting new people who will be coming to Cornerstone, coming to faith in Jesus Christ. So we want you to be thinking that. If you see new people here at Cornerstone, go say hi to them. Invite them to something that you're doing. Let them know that they're welcomed here at Cornerstone, and we want them to grow in their faith as well. Now, also, select individuals will be mentored to start other discipleship groups. One of the things we love to do is have a person a part of a discipleship group to see how it goes, and then train that person as they're attending a discipleship group to then start a new group. So that's something we have been doing. We'd love to see that continue. Obviously, sometimes we won't do that. Sometimes we'll just pull you and just have you start a discipleship group. But we love to do and model what Jesus did was, come walk with me and see what it means to be a follower, and then give them a responsibility to disciple other people. And this is a big one. I want you to understand that other ministries, such as Men of the Word, Women in the Scripture, and other discipleship groups, or we're going to call them D groups for short, they're going to continue. So this is not a cessation of everything we've been doing, and now we got to do this new thing. No, we're saying, hey, this is our goal, is to have 10 to 20 discipleship groups over the next 10 years. That's goal number one. I only got through one. They actually get a little shorter, so don't worry. The second one is actually something very near and dear to me in particular. It's to create specialized groups as needed. Well, what do I mean by that? Specialized groups are unique compared to discipleship groups. I want you to think of discipleship groups as like flagship ministry, the main thing. We want people connected in there. We want you to get in one of them to help yourself grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But we do recognize that sometimes you get stuck in your walk with Christ, or a crisis happens in your life, or we've had this a lot lately, and we grieve with you. Someone dies in your life, and you need to process that. And so sometimes there's these groups that are needed that are specialized. For example, one thing that we do here, there's a sign out on Cole Drive right there. It's divorce care. People who are considering divorce or have been divorced, we want to minister to them and walk with them through that. We preach clearly what the Bible teaches. We say all divorce is sin unless there's been unfaithfulness. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, maybe if the spouses was an unbeliever and walks away. But this divorce care is very clear. Divorce is a sin if it isn't for one of those two reasons. But that's one example as a specialized group. Also, Grief Share was one that Sarah Tate, I think he did for many years as well. That's a specialized group. And there's another one that I'd like us to start. It's called Restoring Your Heart Groups. Now, Restoring Your Heart Groups are based off of a ministry called World Discipleship Association. It's a good, solid, biblical group. And they just have some good material out there. And what I like about this particular ministry and this particular material, they actually have discipleship material that our discipleship groups can use, but they have a particular ministry where people really get stuck and they need to transform their heart in some particular way, that they're just wrestling with something. And I've actually taken these classes to kind of check out if they're biblical. And what I realized through these groups called Restoring Your Heart is, well, my past has really impacted my present. And I really haven't dealt with some of the stuff in my past that is causing issues in my relationships and my thinking, and I need to deal with it. And I don't know how to deal with it. Well, this Restoring Your Heart helps give a biblical perspective on how you can transform your feelings in the way you think as well. It really focuses on those two things, the way you think and the way you feel. And they really help a particular person that needs to grow emotionally or who gets stuck in their discipleship. So will this be for everybody? No, we're not expecting everybody to take this, but we do want to have it available in case this is a particular area where God has been challenging you to grow in. And there's actually three different materials that they use. I believe it's actually on one of my slides, so I'm going to get to that. These groups are actually men-only and women-only groups, specifically, and they're closed because you're dealing with a particular topic over a certain period of time that gets really intense. And so men only need to be doing that with men, and women only with women, because if you mix the groups sometimes, there becomes these unhealthy bonds of trauma that happens, and bad things happen sometimes, because you're bonding and you're finding a relationship that isn't good, and so we don't want that happening, so we keep them separate, all right? So these groups are men only and women only. They're closed while they're meeting. We have some people who actually can lead these already. I'm actually finishing up the third one. They go through three materials. One is called Processing Pain. It's actually fabulous at just giving you some tools to how to work through in a biblical way your pain from your past and your present. And so it helps you actually think about your emotions in a biblical way. And I love that's how it's described. Thinking about your emotions. Because our world teaches, do whatever the emotions feel like. Now we say, whoa. God created us with emotions. God's an emotional being. He created us in his image, but we know our sin nature wants to let our emotions rule us, and we need not do that. So processing pain helps us unlearn some things from the past. Understanding emotions is a really good one that I realized in my own walk that I got hurt in the past when I was talking, especially in middle school and high school with other students, that I realized that I shut down my emotions. And that meant the good ones and the ones that don't feel as good. And I say, I don't like to talk about emotions as good and bad, because we act like, you know, bad, you know, if you hate someone or if you're sad, that's bad. Well, no, it's okay that you're angry. God's angry in Scripture. Jesus cried when Lazarus died. So those are not like bad, evil emotions. I like to talk about the pleasant emotions and the unpleasant emotions. We don't like to feel mad and sad. We would much rather feel joy and contentment, you know, and that's so Christian. And I thought I was being a super duper Christian because I numbed myself out and I thought, I have self-control all the time. I never get this high and low of emotions. I must be such a spiritual Christian. But then what would happen, you can ask my wife this, is I would have times where I could not contain my emotions with my own willpower, and I would explode usually. So I would be really good for a while until the stress was put on so much, and then I would just bark at you loudly if I got triggered, and it would all come out. So I was feeling things. I just like to stuff that stuff and spit as well, all right? So this helps unlearn those bad habits and look from a biblical perspective, and even conquering shame and just talking through past things that you might have done in your life. Really good ministry. But we don't want people just staying in these groups. Again, we're not trying to get you just to sit in this area, because a mature disciple has to be transforming all areas of their life. So after you go through this stuff, we want people going back to the discipleship groups. That even goes for something like grief share or divorce care as well. Now, the next goal that we have is to establish an adult Sunday school academy. So far we have discipleship groups, we have these specialized groups. Now we want to talk about Sunday. Now, what does this mean by Sunday Academy? We're not trying to create something here where you only come to this, and this is like some cliquish thing that you come to, and that's your little group now, and nobody else can join you. No, that's not what this is. What we recognize is that everybody's on their journey a little differently. And the discipleship group is more having that relational interaction where there's more discussion-based, doing things together, doing life together. But we also understand that some of us like to sit down and be taught a book of the Bible or to go through a particular topic that's of interest, and you like that lecture format where the teacher's doing most of the talking and maybe you ask questions. So we understand that all of us, as we're walking and becoming like Christ, have different seasons in our life, and this might be an area where you're in a particular season that you really want to go to a Sunday academy school, kind of like the, think of it as a seminary class sort of thing, but not as like hardcore or really difficult, although Brad, Where is Brad? Did he not come to,
He's still teaching.
Serves him right. He always gives me a hard time going 15 minutes over, which I think I'm going to do today. I'm sorry. But we just want to give an opportunity where you can really be fed some good meat or really focus on a particular topic that's going on in our culture that you can get some really good insight from a biblical perspective. How do I deal with this? Especially, I'm thinking like as a parent. When you're a parent, my kid's going to elementary school or middle school or high school or college, and they're being told all these things about critical race theory or the 1619 Project or about just the nuclear family, how it doesn't need to be a mom and dad and the kids. How do I talk to them about these things? Well, we want these the Sunday Academy to be dealing with some of those things. So we'd love to have one Sunday Academy Bible class to focus on studying the book of the Bible or a doctrine or a character in the Bible. And we'd like to have another one that's more life-oriented focus, that it can address some of the common questions or issues we face as Christians in this world. Possible ones it says there could be even finances, like going through something like a Dave Ramsey sort of thing, or going through a spiritual gifts class, even parenting, social issues, relationships, politics even, or more. So just really focus on a topic. It kind of just cycle through. We're trying to create maybe like a 2 to 4 year curriculum and maybe just repeat it so that you can kind of pick and choose if that's the season of life where you're at and you'd love to grow in that area. So the first one's discipleship groups. We've got specialized groups. We have Sunday Academy. That's a lot of transforming the mind. It's a lot of transforming the mind. Well, we got a little bit more. One of the things that we're looking at is... I want to say this, but I'm going to get some flack for this. Our elders are getting old, all right? They're so cool to work with. I love our elders, but they even recognize that they're not going to live forever. And we're going to need to train up some new leaders for our church. Now, that doesn't just mean elders. And you guys can give me, you guys can give me a hard time about this. I'm fine, you know. I think anything over 60 right now is old, so you can really throw tomatoes at me. Now, we're not, yeah, you're right. But when I'm 60, I won't think that. I will think 80's old, and when I'm 80, I'll probably think that's old, okay? So, yeah, I really put my foot in my mouth. My name is Peter, so why not? But it's not just elders. We like to train deacons and other ministry leaders, too. So we'd love to develop 10 to 20 Christian leaders over the next 10 years to be the next one we pass the baton to. Some of you don't know this, but I came on staff 8 years ago in March 2004 because Doug McIntosh, the previous senior pastor who had been here since 1971, not necessarily in this building, but with the church, he founded the church, was the only pastor this church ever had, and the elders and the staff and the church wanted to pass the baton well, so they brought me in, and for 4 years we were passing the baton so that I could have a successful transition for me being the senior pastor. It's the same thing. We realize we need to be intentional to help, especially you men. Men, we need to lead the church as Christ leads the church, to be servant leaders, to love our wives and the women of this church like Christ loved the church. He's died for the church, so we need to be strong men, especially in our culture that's saying everything masculine is evil. That's a bunch of garbage. Masculinity, being men is important for our culture, for our family, and for the church. And so we need you men stepping up and becoming leaders and standing up for what is true, what is beautiful, what is lovely, what is good. So we want to do that. Now, there's, like I said, we want to train ministry leaders, deacons, and elders. And there's a particular leadership training package that WDA, World Discipleship Association, does. But it doesn't have to be that one. You can change that one. There's a lot of good ones out there. But it's a 2-year track to help just train leaders so that we can have strong, godly men and even godly women in other leader, ministry leadership positions where we allow women to serve as leaders. So we have discipleship groups, specialized groups, the adult Sunday school, training leaders. Still, it's pretty heavy in the head. The next one, though, is a particular passion here at Cornerstone, long before me. We would like to find support and forward three new missionaries at Cornerstone Bible Church.
Yeah.
If you look at our budget report or anything, you can see, I think right now we support 17 or 18 missionaries right now. We're looking to send Aaron and Lydia Farmer out. I don't know if you've met Aaron and Lydia Farmer. I encourage you to get to know them. Where are you guys? There you are. They need support still. Are you still at 88%? They still need another 12%. So if you can support them, they're going over to the other side of the world. Yes, thank you. I made sure I didn't say anything. Yeah. But we'd love to find more people like Aaron and Lydia Farmer that we can forward, like one of our four F's is, out on the mission field. Now, that is going to be hard because that costs money, okay? I realize what we're saying here is a big dollar sign because if you don't know it, we like to support our missionaries well. We don't just give like 20 bucks a month. We like to support them in the $1,000 a month sort of thing because it's a huge commitment and a big risk they are taking going over the seas. And if we're going to support them, we want to support them well. So you guys give amazingly. I know you give. And if you don't know how to give, we have that box in the back. We never talk about it very much. Rob talked about it today. But you drop your connection card in there, but you drop your giving in there. We don't pass the plate at all because we want your giving to be worship. It's not about just making sure we have lights on the building. We want you worshiping your wonderful, glorious God who gives you life, who's giving you salvation in Jesus Christ. We want you to worship through your giving. And so we need to pursue and find, even on top of Aaron and Lydia, three new missionaries to support. Because we actually lost Parkview Christian Learning Center, and as well as Boyden and Lois Donmoyer as well. So that kind of went off of our missions, and we've funneled some of the money now to Aaron and Lydia Farman and some other places, but we'd like to see three new ones. And we'd like to continue to evaluate our support of current missionaries, making sure we're committed to the ministries that we already support and that they have what they need to do the Lord's work across the sea. Next, we also want to engage 25 to 30 individuals in local outreach. Now, there's many different ways that we can teach all of you to be a part of evangelism, but what I really need and what we need here at Cornerstone is someone who's really passionate about evangelism and outreach to take this by the reins and help lead us forward into the community. Cornerstone does a lot of things well, but I'll admit our faults. We don't always do the local outreach as strongly or as passionately as we do some other things. And I like to see us not take away from these other things, but engage more in our local outreach. Now, I was really excited because we did the Christmas outreach back in December, and we've done the Good Friday service as well as a way of connecting with our community. And there's some other ones as well, but we'd like to get people who are really passionate about this in local outreach. Now, that means that we're going to have to actively train people. One of my favorite ones is a ministry called The Way of the Master. It uses the law to the proud and grace to the humble. So you help a person understand why they need a Savior and what they're being saved from, and help them realize that they're a sinner by telling them, you know, you've lied, you've stolen, you committed adultery in your heart by lusting, you've disobeyed your parents, you haven't had God number one in your life. You could do the other five as well. And this was really fun. When I was still living over in California, one of the things we would do is go over to Huntington Beach. I don't know if any of you, you probably don't know where that is. It's a hoity-toity place in California, okay? Hoity-toity. Yes, I see the Haynes. Yeah. But it was so much fun because we'd go out on the pier and kind of along that area and just talk to people. And the people that I loved talking to the most were the thugs. Because I would go up to them, and it's those people that you look at and we judge them by the cover and go, I don't want to walk near you, you might hurt me. I loved going up to them because I would go up to them and start sharing the gospel with them, talking about the law, asking them questions about, you know, have they lied, have they stole, and they were very honest. And when they found out I was a Christian, they would always say, you know, you say a lot of stuff my grandmother says. I'm like, you should listen to your grandmother. The people I disliked talking to, were the yuppies, the people who thought they were better than everybody else. They just were so snooty, and they need Jesus just like we all do. We want to train you, and one of the ways I encourage this, that means not necessarily going out to the beach, although it would be fun to take a trip to Florida, or L.A., which is Lower Alabama, right, John Hayes? Yeah. But even doing things, some of the things we could do is we have the Lilburn Co-op. We have the Good News Club that's going on actively here, reaching about 50 kids or more from across the street that need to hear the gospel. We also have this ministry that we could look at called NG3. It's simply a ministry that goes over at Parkview High School and other high schools and gets kids that are in a sports team and makes a discipleship group and teaches them the elementary stuff about Christianity and who Jesus is. It's a great ministry. That's a way we could get over in Parkview. We have the Christmas outreach. We could do an Easter outreach. We could go over to the Mall of Georgia. It doesn't matter what it is. We want to be actively engaged and raise 25 to 30 people up doing that. So if you're interested in that, please let us know. And we love our discipleship groups to be actively doing that together from time to time as well, working together. The seventh goal is something you'll hear maybe another word used here called recapitalization. And when I looked at that, when my wife looked at that, we went, what does that mean? I have no idea what that word means. So change it with the word revitalize, our Cornerstone Bible Church campus, okay? We want to make sure we're taking care of this building that God has blessed us with. Now, I want to make something clear to you, though. And this is really passionate for me. We will always put people over projects here at Cornerstone. People, you are all important, not this building. This building could burn down, God forbid, but we would still be the church. But we are grateful we have this building, and we want to be good stewards of this building. We want to take care of it, and there's just things that on an ongoing basis that we have to do. And so our budget committee has asked ministry leaders, and there's this huge ticket item that we have to take care of, and we do with your giving. In fact, if you want to know where we're at currently, you can flip your bulletin over, and on the bottom, you can always find out where we're at budget-wise as a church. And these things are split into two things. There's operating income, and then this capital reserve income. And the capital reserve income is for this stuff to revitalize CBC's campus. And there's multiple things that we need to do. One of them, which seems so arbitrary and not that important, but I don't know why it's important to me, is pave that parking lot so that you can actually see the lines. I'm trying to teach my son how to drive, and we're like, are we in the lines? I don't know. Let's look. We open our door. Yep, you're a little off. Okay, straighten out a little bit. So that's like one of the things. One of the things is the air conditioning units. Are you happy we have them now that summer's coming up? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that we live in a time period where we have air conditioning. So I'm so grateful. A lot of people in other countries don't have the luxuries we do. But we always want to put people first. So our primary, if you want to know how we do things at Cornerstone when it comes to budgets, who we will always give the money to, the first thing we will always put your giving towards is our missionaries. That's the first thing. If all we had enough is to pay the missionaries, we would pay the missionaries, and I would not get paid, Rob would not get paid, none of the staff would get paid. Then it is the staff. Then it is also our ministries, and it's our building. So I just want you to know that there is sort of an order we have of what we pay for first, what's priority, but this is also something we want to be good stewards of. So please, if you can be participating in that, if you can give even, I think, what was it? Was it like 10% more than what your normal giving is? So if you give $100 every month, if you can give $110, that extra $10 can help go towards this revitalization project. So how do we do this? Let me just go through this briefly. Our campus just needs to undergo a lot of revitalization, just different things. If you want to know what the list is of things, I'm sure we'll show you. It's not like we're trying to hide it. I just don't know where it's at right now. So each year we take a certain percentage of your giving. Actually, specifically what we encourage you to do, those of you at home as well, if you go online to our website, there's a giving tab like on the top, And when you go to give, there's actually a category. I think you can, I'm looking at Rob, we can click where it's actually giving to capital. But this is what I asked you to do. Let's say you're going to give $100 this month. And you go, oh, well, Peter said to give to the, you know, revitalization project, the capital reserve thing. So instead of giving it to the church, I'm just going to designate it towards the revitalization thing. No, don't do that. We still need the other money to do everything else, all right? We're asking, if you're going to give $100 to that, if you could do $10 more, do $110, but do $100 for operating fund and $10 towards that. And it, we make it go to those categories, okay? Likewise, like I said, these projects include AC units, painting walls, replacing carpets. Our chairs will need to be replaced. We'd like to even have a part-time paid person, possibly. Maybe they're not paid. That's a facility manager. Jill and even Rob does a lot of stuff when it comes to taking care of the building, and we really didn't hire them to do that stuff. And so, and even Chuck, when you were a pastor, you did way too much of this. And so we're trying to be specific so that when something needs to be changed or one of these projects come up, we have a manager, a facilities manager that can help take care of this. So those of you who are retired or who even want to do this for free, you know, come and talk to us. We could use your help. All right, so that's, we got three more. And who? Okay. We also like to focus and expand our corporate worship. And I say this with letting you know that everybody on the worship team should know about this. It's not like we're getting rid of our worship team, okay? We're talking to them about this. But everybody that's up here is a volunteer. There is no paid person here. So one of the things we are considering, and this again would take giving, and it means not just your giving, but more people coming to Cornerstone. So invite people to our church. Let them be growing as a disciple in these 10 and 10 goals. But we'd like to have a worship leader. Matt does a wonderful job, so he knows about this. I want you to make sure that we're not kicking Matt and Jerry and Jay and Sandra and Sally and Wendy, and I can't name you all. I'm sorry, it would take too long. But everybody up here, we're not firing them. We're just saying, yeah, it would be really great to have a worship leader that can do things on Sunday, even do special events like we do with Good Friday or even other events. We love to have them just integrate all the praise music, the hymns, the prayers, communion announcements into a single, coordinated, cohesive worship experience with the preaching. And I love how that's written. I think you did that, Steve Farmer. Didn't you do that? Yes. Good job. Can you give Steve a hand real quick? That's just a beautiful set. Now, doing it is going to be a lot harder than saying it. That's the only problem, right? Another thing when it comes to just having this worship focus is we'd like to teach and equip all of us the importance of worship. Like the song, one of the songs we sung today, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. I want worship to be about you, not an experience I have. And I can do that often. I can experience and enjoy the song without worshiping God. No, we want worship to be worship and actively engage together in worship. And we can see a worship leader helping us do that more so, especially if they're paid. We'd like to integrate our worship into CBC ministries even, such as kids ministries, adults, outreach. We'd love to actively pursue and give opportunities to those of you in this church. Maybe you have a musical talent that you haven't shared with us. We'd love for you to be a part of our worship team even now and use those musical talents to lead us in worship. And we'd love to use special worship events to reach out into our local communities. That was kind of already said. The ninth goal is we're praying for a youth pastor, but we want to expand our youth and college-age ministry. One of the first things we need to do, I want to show you this graph. We have a program that we have a directory. It's called People. We don't do anything with this. We just keep your data so we know. And this graph right here, hopefully those of you at home can see it too. Talk about different age ranges. The first one is 0 to 3, 4 to 11, 12 to 18, 19 to 25, 26 to 35, 36 to 50, 51 through 64, and 65 plus. Do you see the dip in it? Who are we missing? College kids. We're missing a lot at that group. And we, what was that? Say it again. Aged people? Aged? Middle-aged people, yeah. Yeah, young families. Yeah, we're missing that, especially in the 19 to 25 and 26 to 35. We recognize we have a problem, It doesn't mean that the other people aren't important. All of you are important. But what are we going to do to help engage people of that age range at Cornerstone? One of them is we need our youth pastor or youth director, if we want to call him that, doesn't matter. We're looking to hire a young man to be overseeing not just the youth group, but also help just organizing a college-age ministry as well. And they're going to help us carry out that with middle school, high school, and college age. The vision and the mission and the desire to make disciples. We also recognize that we need to partner with parents of the youth through quarterly meetings. And one of the reasons why James is having a meeting with your parents on May 15th, and I hope you go to it, is James is doing that and all voluntarily. He has a full-time job and family, and he's doing a fabulous job right now helping our youth. And God bless him. He's been doing it since October. Count that on your fingers. October, November, December, January, February, March, April. We're going into the, is that right? Is that eight? 8 months? Did I miss something? Okay. If I miscount it, forgive me. You can correct me later. But he needs some help this summer so that we can do some of the things we do with our kids. He can't do it all. And we have some other amazing volunteers. So if you're interested in helping out, please go to that. Please see how you can be involved in discipling our kids. So we want to train, even support these youth and college-age students to take on leadership roles. We're going to need a youth pastor to be able to do that, because we love it when they own part of the discipleship and helping younger kids be discipled. We also want to establish and maintain age-appropriate discipleship groups that will be separated male and female. We actually already do this on Wednesday nights. The middle school boys, middle school girls, high school boys, high school girls all go off into four groups, and we have some great volunteers. Thank you, volunteers. We'd love to plan yearly local outreach. When Kent Suter was our youth pastor, you guys went everywhere. Jamaica, Greece, London. You even had a trip up to Montana, where apparently things happened to the van. It was like a van down by the river. It was not a pretty thing, yeah. Everett Bracken did it too before, yeah. So we'd love to see our youth pastor do that. We'd love to be more involved in school stuff that's going on so we can reach the high schoolers, middle schoolers, and elementary kids. We'd like this person to be a little bit more engaged in social media so that they can interact with students as well. All right, last one. I swear, I'm almost done. We'd like to enhance our CBC Kids ministry. How do we want to enhance it? Deborah's doing a great job already. We've lost a few kids just because of COVID, and so we'd love to reach out to more families. We like to have music incorporated into our CBC Kids ministry and drama so they can help understand biblical truths from different methods, just different ways to communicate truth that really resonates with kids. We'd love to support you families with young children through helping you be mentored about current issues. How do you talk to your kid? This came up at their school. I can't believe they taught this. How do I engage my kid? We want to help parents. And we'd love to create a new play area, because this is like the splinter of death play area over here. We don't want to see our kids get hurt. We need to replace that thing. All right. So what do I want you to take away today? This is what I want you to take away. You have a part in making 10 and 10 a reality. This can't happen without you. Us elders, deacons, ministry leaders can't do this alone. Ephesians 4 says that we're here to equip the saints. Guess what? You're the saints. You're the eggs that we're making scrambled eggs with, that have a part in making more scrambled eggs. Disciples, okay? You have a part to play. You can help us make disciples. So there's two questions I want you to ask yourself as we're talking about 10 and 10, these 10 goals in 10 years. Where do I need to grow? What do I need to be a part of so I'm growing in my faith to become more like Jesus Christ? To think, feel, and act like Jesus. Where do I need to go? And the second question is, where can I serve? Because we don't want you to be a pew sitter. We want you to be a player in the game. And really, it's not a game, is it? This is real life. This is heaven and hell sort of stuff. This is transforming lives sort of stuff. You get to be a part of something that's bigger and greater than anything in this world can give you. And we want you to have a part to play. So over the next 4 Sundays in May, I'm going to have a Q&A and a time for us to get together and talk about this. So bring your questions, bring your enthusiasm if there's something that you really are passionate about. But for 4 Sundays, May 8th, May 15th, May 22nd, and May 29th, during Sunday school hour, between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., I'm going to have a dialogue with you, talk about these more in more detail, and not go over 25 minutes, hopefully, because I want you to help us make Scrambled Eggs disciples. So that's our goals, our 10 and 10, our 10 goals in the next 10 years. We're going somewhere here at Cornerstone, and you get to be a part of that. I'm really excited to see what God does through us all in the next 10 years. Amen?